Look, I was really ashamed to say it at the time, and ashamed to have to admit it to Harry, especially, because I know how much loss he suffered.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew that if I didn't say it, that I would do it, and I just didn't want to be alive anymore. And that was a very clear and real and frightening constant thought. And I remember how he just cradled me, and I went to the institution, and I said that I needed to go somewhere to get help. I said that I've never felt this way before, and I need to go somewhere. And I was told that I couldn't, that it wouldn't be good for the institution.
Wow, one of the very real, very, revelatory moments there of the interview. Meghan and Harry sat down with Oprah, and a two-hour special. A lot of people watched, and a lot of people had maybe changed your mind a little bit. I don't know. I found myself watching and stayed pretty glued to it. I didn't join it at the very beginning. I was going to check in and see how it went, and I found it really riveting to hear what they had to say, and it wasn't what I thought. So in that way, it was eye-opening. Our royal watcher joins us from across the pond right now, Chicago, and Fred Weintraub has been tracking all things Harry and Meghan, and I gotta ask you, because we know how it was received in America, but I wonder how it has all been received, all of these news and revelations have been received over there, Fred. What's going on?
Well, Anna, they haven't really been received over here because the interview hasn't played. It will play in the UK in about 20 minutes at 9 o'clock London time, when it'll play all over the Sky Network in the UK. So people here in London and the UK, for the most part, have just been watching the snippets on the news, and they haven't seen the two-hour interview. But you can imagine that when Queen Elizabeth woke up this morning, and she did not watch it in any form last night or couldn't watch it in any form last night, I think Buckingham Palace was prepared for there to be a battle and for it to be tough. But I don't think they were prepared for the grenades, for the bombs, for the directness of Meghan and Harry, for Harry throwing people under the bus, including his father. Some of it may have been deserved. And I think what you'll find when the UK, when people in London wake up tomorrow morning, there will be mixed reviews. They'll be tougher than the reviews in the United States. My sense is in the United States, people are pretty sympathetic towards Meghan and Harry, and to a certain extent with good reason. I think here people will say, stop airing your dirty laundry. We are in the middle of a pandemic. Unemployment is at the highest level it's ever been. People are suffering. We don't want to hear about this. So I think you're going to see two schools of thought, and it's going to start in about 20 minutes when the piece airs.
Uh-oh. Get ready for the earth to sort of shake there over there. I hope it's okay. I look, you talk about grenades. His dad, his brother, Kate, the Queen. I mean, all of them, really. It was like incoming fire, talking about things they had done and, things that normally don't get exposed but did. I think one of the big questions here, Fred, is the why part of it. Why would they do this? Is it to sort of air their grievances, to explain the truth once and for all, to elevate their profile? I mean, I just wonder why do you think is the best reason you can come up with that they wanted to tell all of it?
Well, I think initially, it's multi-layered. One, they wanted to get it off their chest. And if they're going to do that, you might as well do it with the person who runs one of the best master classes in how to get emotional interviews and answers out of people in Oprah Winfrey. You can tell that Meghan and Harry are scarred by this entire experience. And, you would hope that they wanted to get out the information so that they can help other people. But there's the other side of the coin, which suggests that there's manipulation going on, and there's manipulation not only by Buckingham Palace, but by Meghan and Harry. Because if you don't, Meghan's been a public figure for a long time, maybe not the same degree of pressure that she had over the last few years as a royal, But you've got to think that when she walked out of St. George's Chapel after they got married, that she at least had some idea of what to expect. And because Harry's mom, Princess Diana, had such a horrific last part of her life, you got to think that Harry prepped Meghan for what was about to happen, that she didn't go into this blind. So there's this manipulation part where I think Meghan might have thought, you know what, I can be a star either way. Is it better for me to be a star from a royal standpoint or from an actor standpoint? But as I say that to you, Anna, I also say that as I watched it through American technology last night from 1 to 3 in the morning, and I heard Meghan talk about wanting to commit suicide and then talking about race, not only did my heart sink, but I was nauseous. I was nauseous because no one deserves that, no matter what level of royal family that you're involved in. And when you say that you go, you know, that you went to the Institute, which is the firm, to get some help, and they say, no, we can't give you any help, it's pretty disheartening. But if it were one of my family members or one of your family members, and they said to you, Anna, I'm in real trouble, I'm in real mental trouble, and I might do something that I'm going to regret, I don't think you would just, you know, take the answer, well, I can't do anything right now. When you're Prince Harry, you figure out a way to get your wife into a program, in to see a psychologist, in to see a psychiatrist. That's why I'm not convinced that it's all purity on both sides.
But the way she portrayed it, at least, and you know a lot about the way this works in the institution and the firm, which really is strange ways to call a family, but I get it. It's bigger than that. It's about the royal picture for the whole country, for the UK. But I just wonder, like, you know, what did you think about when she said, they took my keys, my driver's license, I was locked down, I was isolated, I was told I couldn't meet my friends, I wanted to just go have lunch with a friend, and I was told, no, you've been too exposed. And she said, for 6 months, I've been out of the palace twice. I don't know how that was overexposed. That's a reality. I didn't really know that, or maybe just didn't think about it.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, welcome to the royal family. It's exactly the Princess Diana story, that she would cry in a room because she couldn't get out. She couldn't meet people. That's why she took Harry and William to McDonald's, that she took them to amusement parks, so that they could have an average kind of life. So I think that Meghan was in distress and isn't in distress. And who wants to live a life like that? You know, Prince Charles has said many a times that life's not always easy being the you know, knowing that he's going to be the next king and bring the Prince of Wales for as long as he has. Because Anna, you and I don't know for sure what we have to do over the next couple of days. But Prince Charles will say, my life is booked out for the next 3 years. I can tell you at every moment on every day what I'm going to do. And that's not the life that many people want to live. And as Meghan looked back over the last couple of years, she might have been thinking to herself, oh, my God, what did I get myself into? How do I get out of this? And Prince Harry, I need your help. And that might have been at the start of them saying, we've got to escape. We've got to escape the UK press. We've got to escape for our family. And as I'm critical of them in some ways, and equally as critical of the royal family, you know, the big point is they knew what they were signing up for. This isn't play school. You know, this is the royal family. This is how it's been for many, many years. Are they changing? They're trying to change. Did they learn lessons from Princess Diana and her death? They learned some. Did they learn enough? Probably not, when you hear that Meghan's, you know, talking about, I was thinking of committing suicide. And then the race card comes up with little Archie. And you think to myself, oh, my God, right. They haven't learned anything. But when Oprah, who did a great job, when a question wasn't answered specifically enough, and I think that you and I both know as producers that if you don't get the answer that's what you think is the right answer, that you drill down a little bit further. And Oprah drilled down with Prince Harry and said, Meghan talked about this. Who is the person that you're talking about that talked about race and the color of our child's skin? And he said, I will never share that with you. Well, Prince Harry, make out accusations as much as you want, but if you're not willing to share, it's kind of the coward's way out.
Well, and I have to agree with that. It was sickening to hear, oh my God, I can't even imagine how it would be. You're 5 months pregnant, you know, the world's looking at you, and they're all, you know, you're excited about having a baby, and then you get this sit down where they say, well, he's not going to have a title, you won't get security, we don't value that in that way, and oh, by the way, there are concerns about how dark your child might be, because that will have some sort of impact. I mean, it just shocking and sickening in all those ways that you described it. I just wonder, how does that just hang out there? The British tabloids are going to have a field day with this, trying to guess who this person is. And I know Oprah at least made the clarification when she had a follow-up on CBS, I think, this morning with Gayle King. She said it wasn't the Queen. It wasn't Prince Philip. I will tell you, they did tell me that privately, or maybe it was something that didn't make it. But privately, they did learn it wasn't those two people. But who was it? I mean, isn't everyone going to try to figure out who the heck said something so horrible?
Yeah, you are going to try to figure that out. And, you know, I think anyone could speculate and come up with one or two people that could have made an offhanded comment to Prince Harry that they never thought would get out. And you know what? It's not right. And it is sickening. But the reality is, I think if people sit in on other people's families, that there are off-color jokes made because they don't think anybody's listening. And I think people lose sight of the fact at times that the royal family is two parts. One part is the business of the country, the business of the Commonwealth, the business of the UK. The other part is the family business, and they're no different than any other family. They're fragile. They get hurt. People's feelings get hurt. I can only imagine Prince Charles, who will be the next king, had to have been mortified. I was mortified for him that his son said to him, "I felt let down by my dad."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that part was really tough to hear. Also, the part where Harry talks about, hey, look what happened to my mom, Diana. I didn't want that here. I could see that, you know, I could see where this path leads, and I didn't want that for us. And he's just happy to be here sitting next to his wife and their family. And, you know, that seemed very a poignant moment. And you can see he's given a lot of thought to that. Hey, Fred, can you stick around? I got to pause here for a second. I want to ask you if there's been any reaction from the palace, and if you think we're going to hear something. I know it airs in like 10 minutes over there, but will we hear something shortly thereafter as the entire UK reacts? Fred Weintraub, more in a moment with you, and we'll continue this conversation on the other side of this on WGN.
No one wants to admit that there's anything about race, or that race has played a role in the trolling and the vitriol. And yet, Megan shared with us that there was a conversation with you about Archie's skin tone.
Mm-hmm.
What was that conversation?
That conversation I'm never going to share. But at the time it was awkward. I was a bit shocked.
Can you tell us what the question was?
No, I'm not comfortable sharing that.
Okay.
But that was right at the beginning, right?
Like, what will the baby look like?
Yeah, what will the kids look like?
Yeah, what will the kids look like?
But that was right at the beginning, when she wasn't going to get security, when members of my family were suggesting that she carries on acting because there's not enough money to pay for her and all this sort of stuff. Like, there was some real obvious signs before we even got married that this was going to be really hard.
Mm. So in conclusion, if you'd had the support, you'd still be there?
Without question.
Yeah.
I'm sad that what's happened has happened.
Mm.
But I know, and I'm comfortable knowing, that we did everything that we could to make it work.
Gee, they really explained their view for the first time, I think, about why Megxit occurred. That those kinds of things, they just sort of realized it wasn't the life that they were going to lead, be able to lead. And then, yeah, the other part about the race of the baby, and that there's someone high up within the royal family, seemingly, who said these things about her unborn child. Do you think the Queen will react to that in some way? Is that something you could just sort of let float out there and not address at some point, Fred? What do you think?
No, I don't. I think that she has to react in some way, but Buckingham Palace has been awful quiet today, and in part they've probably been quiet because people in the UK haven't seen the interview, so there's no point in going out there in public and making any type of statement if you're going to make a statement. until it all gets out there. And so by tomorrow, it will all get out there. Now, I don't think that you're going to see Prince Charles sit down for a sit-down interview and say, I love Prince Harry. He took it all wrong. I didn't mean to say what, you know, anything I said, and I'm going to be supportive. But based on the damage that was done, whether it was totally truthful or not, perception is reality. And even though they could not have been nicer and more complimentary of Harry's grandmother, the Queen, when you're talking about the royal family and you're being as accusatory as you are and throwing out these bombshells, it lands on the monarch's lap. And she will, my sense is that she will respond in some way, because she has to. Just like when Diana died and she didn't come back to London as quickly as people wanted her to come back to London. Finally, she did. These people are human beings. They make mistakes. Some are really stupid mistakes. So far in her 70 years on the reign, she hasn't done, on the throne, she hasn't done anything so bad that they've abolished the monarchy. But she's also come out. She came out when Diana died, and she made, she read off a teleprompter, and she made a statement of how she really felt. Now, if you look on social media, you see that today it's trending, hashtag abolish the royal family. So yes, there's a lot of bad blood. There are a lot of people that are thinking, this is a big waste of time. Why are we even dealing with this? So she, in my mind, she has to address it, but she will address it in a dignified way that is both strategic and gets her point across.
Yeah, I bet you're right about that. It's interesting because I don't know how long you can wait to sort of leave that hanging out there. That one sort of feels as if something has to be said. I already saw, even though they haven't seen the whole interview, the sit-down interview is airing tonight, or it's airing, you know, like brief, right, shortly here. The British tabloids are taking aim at them. I mean, they've got lots and lots of headlines out there. I saw a couple of them, and they're not sparing anyone. They're talking about Kate made me cry, and they're showing pictures. I mean, like, it's just, they're really kind of, you know, they're just really kind of going over the top with what this does. And I just wonder how the monarchy recovers from it, right? How do they deal with the fallout that inevitably occurs?
Well, they've had a lot. There have been a lot of crises since Queen Elizabeth became the queen. She's managed to ride each of the waves in an appropriate way. Yeah, the headlines in all the papers, if you read them not knowing the entire story or the parts that we know, you would think that Meghan and Harry are the total villains. And that's because the UK press, for whatever reason, is so vitriol and is willing to push out poison in what they think is the right way to do it. But when you look globally, and you only have to look at America, it seems to me that the early numbers are showing that 17 million people watched that interview last night. People are interested in that, and there will be sympathy. And I think there's a lot of sympathy in America. So it kind of depends on what side of the globe that you're sitting on. In the end, this will all pass. Will it cause damage? Yes, it already has. Will Meghan and Harry be able to do good for the world? Yes. And by the way, they're going to make a boatload of money. And by the way, they live in a gazillion-dollar house, which is not what the average person in the UK does. So people can feel sorry for them, and yes, the thing about suicide and the thing about race is absolutely horrible. But the other side of it is there's a whole branding campaign going on, even if nobody knows about it.
Yeah. You know, on a much lighter note, I wanted to see the house. I thought they were going to show the house because, I know this Russian oligarch owned it before them and, like, built it up in all its splendor. They bought it. It's expensive. I think they only showed the chicken coop. Is that right? Or did I miss it?
Yeah, no, they showed the chicken coop. And really, to end on a positive note, which you always want to do.
Yes.
So there was also the story that the Queen asked Prince Harry, so what does Archie want for a present? And apparently he said, I want him a waffle maker. And the Queen sent her grandson, her great-grandson, a waffle maker, which apparently he's thrilled with because he's eating organic waffles every morning.
Very nice.
To his great-grandmother, the Queen.
What a life. Fred, thank you for ending on a positive note. Thanks for calling into the show, too. I appreciate you keeping us up to date.
I will talk to you soon, Anna.
Talk to you soon, Fred. Keep us posted. That's Fred. You can catch him daily on The Worldly File with Fred Weintraub and the Smart Talk Radio Network.